Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of many pastors' favorite days of the whole year. Yes, Good Friday. Yes, Holy Saturday. Yes, Easter Sunday and Christmas and Pentecost. But Maundy Thursday is when we get to let our doctrine of the Lord's body and blood in his supper reign free. It is clear from the scriptures that what we believe in the Evangelical Lutheran Church is simply what the Bible teaches. I do not need Aristotle. I do not need fancy, super fancy designations and words. I do not need philosophies. I simply need the scriptures to teach what we believe. There are some who believe that when Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body," it is just a symbol of his body, that it represents his body, and that we are to eat it because he commanded us to. The same of the cup, that we drink this, often grape juice instead of wine, in remembrance of him, as opposed to actually being his blood, which grants the forgiveness of sins. At the same time, like I said, we do not need Aristotle to define for us some sort of transubstantiation. That is, that these elements completely transform substances so that the bread no longer exists, that it is only the body, and that the wine no longer exists, that it is only Christ's blood. Our doctrine on these things does not make logical sense like the Reformed. It is not take Aristotle and philosophy like the Roman Catholic Church. Our doctrine simply is the words of Jesus. Is means is. Hoc est meum corpus. This is my body. And we, as Bible-believing Lutherans, say, okay. Lord, I don't understand how that can be, but I trust that you are God and you are smarter than I am. Why would I try to live my life being God when I pale in comparison to your ability to do it? I cannot be God. So when Jesus took the bread after he had supped with his disciples, and he says to them, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you," in a supernatural way, we have this union. That the bread that we break is the communion in the body of Christ. That the cup that we bless is a communion in the blood of Christ. And yet the bread and the wine do not cease to also be bread and wine. You heard those words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but they bear repeating. He received it from the Lord, and he is now giving it to the Corinthians. And he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We also had words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he writes, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Jesus' word should settle it for us. But on top of that, we also get St. Paul's words. His words filled with the Holy Spirit. This bread that we break, once the words of Christ are joined to it, we receive exactly what he said. This is his body, given for us sinners to eat. And once his word is proclaimed over that cup of wine, we have at the same time the blood of Christ, which was poured out, which was shed for the remission of sins. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, his rest in the tomb, all the way to his resurrection, are to be viewed as one big event. This shows us very clearly that when we gather, we confess what Jesus has to say. Closed communion is one of those doctrines that is very tricky for a lot of people. And it didn't really used to be that way because pretty much every denomination practiced closed communion, at least all of the historic ones. The Roman Catholic Church officially has closed communion. The Orthodox Church has closed communion. And we as Lutherans have closed communion. Not because we think we're better than everyone, not because we think that we're the only ones that are going to get into heaven, but because we take God's word so seriously. Give consideration earlier to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We kneel together, if we're able to kneel, in a communion, as a community, communing with the Lord Almighty, who gives us his body and his blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. We are to kneel in unity of doctrine, in unity of faith, in unity of love. We come before our Lord with repentant hearts. A pastor does not joy when he has to tell somebody living in open, unrepentant sin that he or she may not commune until that sin is rectified. That is not fun for a pastor to do. And yet it is a part of my calling. The goal is always to drive that person back to the foot of the cross, that they have that Holy Spirit work in their hearts, and that they cry out for God's mercy, and that they receive his forgiveness, and then are welcomed back with open arms to that table. But a pastor that truly cares for people recognizes these words of Paul and takes them seriously. Whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's not our faith that makes it his body and blood, it's his word. It's not me who does it, it's his word. The one who comes with a repentant heart, the one who kneels in that unity of doctrine, receives the forgiveness of sins. But the one who comes forward living an open, unrepentant lifestyle receives not the forgiveness of sins. But in that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, to his or her judgment. This chastisement is given to us for a time. I get that it's painful not to be able to walk forward in church to receive if my unrepentant sin has been called out. I understand that that is hard to endure. But how much worse is it if your pastor never once, knowing your sin, confronts you on it? If he simply turns a blind eye and winks at you and says, you know what, it's totally fine, when God's word says otherwise. The chastisement lasts for a little while, and just like a child who is reared properly, Punishment comes, but always in love, to redirect their behaviors so that they may live in peace and unity with you and with their neighbors. It is important to approach the table with a repentant heart. How are we truly worthy and well prepared? Luther talks about fasting in the Small Catechism, and this, of course, was the traditional practice of the Lutheran Church. On Sunday morning before gathering, the faithful Christian would not eat until he had received the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, and then brunch. Now, is it necessary to do that in order to receive the forgiveness of sins? No. But is it fine outward training? Luther argues in the Small Catechism, yes. But the heart that is truly worthy and well prepared trusts in these words, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. We take those words to heart. Jesus says on this Maundy Thursday, as he mandates, which is how we get the word Maundy, as he mandates that they love one another, that others would see the love of Christ in the unity of a church, that the church would not grow divided, that the church would not have gossiping sessions with one another, that if there were some sort of issue, they would actually come and talk to whomever it is that they might have an issue with, that they freely forgive, just as our Father forgives them. It is important that we love one another. Because as Jesus said on that Maundy Thursday, the words of our gospel lesson today, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. He has washed us and we have a part in it with him. We are baptized, we are washed, we belong to him. Love one another. Luther, in his sermon on confession and the sacrament, says these words, "The sacrament should deal with us in such a way that it changes us and makes us into different people. For the words and works of God do not want to be idle, but to do great things, namely that we become free from sin, death, and the devil, and afraid of nothing. On the other hand, we become servants of the very lowest people on earth and are not troubled by it, but happy when we find someone who needs our help. We are not anxious that we have so much property which we have not yet applied to others." When you walk away this night, you are transformed, even if it's the millionth time that you've received the Lord's Supper, which is pretty doubtful that you've received it that many times. But may we receive it this night, each day the rest of this week, weekly or as often as we feel the need of that forgiveness of sins. And may it wash over us and we walk away changed, transformed, filled with joy that even our sins are forgiven. And I'll leave you with some of my favorite words from St. John Chrysostom, the golden mouth, who lived in the 4th century. He says this, "Let us then return from the communion table like lions breathing fire, having become terrible to the devil, thinking on our head, Christ, and on the love that he has shown for us. Our Lord says, 'I feed you my own flesh, desiring that you be nobly born and holding forth good hopes for your future. I have willed to become your brother. For your sake, I shared in flesh and blood, and in turn, I give you the flesh and blood by which I became your kinsman. This blood causes the image of our King to be fresh within us. It produces beauty unspeakable and prevents the nobleness of our souls from wasting away. It nourishes our souls and works in them a mighty power. This blood, if rightly taken, drives away devils and keeps them far from us, while it calls the angels and the Lord of angels to us. For wherever they see the Lord's blood, devils flee and angels run together. This night, as we depart this sanctuary, may our bodies and souls that have been filled with the body and blood of Christ breathe out fire against the devil. May the joy and the forgiveness that is now wrapped up in us cast the devil so far from us that he is left speechless. The church sings. May God bestow on us his grace and favor. Thy holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to thee could bind us. May this feast thereof remind us. O Lord, have mercy. Lord, thy kindness did so constrain thee that thy blood should bless and sustain me. All our debt thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.